This is the Green Lantern Spotlight, episode 34 for December 2009.
With special guest, artist Patrick Gleason. Now, the host of the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast, Frankie Mateo.
I'm your host, Frankie Mateo, the man formerly known as Rainer 2014, and welcoming you to this madness that we have dubbed the GL Spotlight. As you know, we are the premier spot for all your Green Lantern-related fixes and tidbits, and also be sure to check out the site that sponsors and supports us on the regular, the www.thegreenlanterncore.com, for all sorts of reviews and previews on all things Green Lantern. Now, welcoming from the frontier front lines, we have the co-webmaster of the speedster site .proboards.com, Brandon West. How you doing, Brandon?
Doing good.
We also have Kuhan, the creator of the Real View Mirror podcast. How you doing, Kuhan?
I'm good.
We also have Musard. How you doing, Mew?
Excellent. Always good.
And we also have our sponsor and our debonair great guy, Andrew NDB. How you doing, Andrew?
Good. What's happening?
Awesome. Well, guys, we have a special show today. We have a spectacular guest, which I'll be introducing in a moment. Welcome to the podcast. It's really great to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, basically, I just want to start off, Patrick, by tell us a little bit about yourself for our listeners at home. All of them are carrying us around on their portable devices.
Okay. Well, let's see. I draw Green Lantern Corps, obviously, I guess, and so I'm in the right place. I've been working for DC for quite a while, actually. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe 10, close to 10 years, something like that, maybe? No, I can't be quite that long. Maybe 8 or 9 years, something like that. Before that, I did Aquaman, some fill-in issues for JSA, Hawkman's Secret Files. Before that, I was over Image. I did a book called Noble Causes. And before that, I did X-Men, issue of X-Men Unlimited. That was my very first break into the industry. I just draw comics all day long, every single day. And that's just what I was set myself up to do every day in school when I was in high school, drawing all day long. That's cool. So, that's it. I have a studio here in Minnesota with Doug Mankey, who's also on Green Lantern. And
that's how you say his name.
Yes. For a clear definition for all of our listeners, we finally know how to spell his, say his name outright. Mankey.
Yeah, Mankey. Or, every once in a while he'll say it a little different too. So that's just how I say Mankey. I've heard him say Monkey, so I don't know if it's the short A or long A or whatever, but I just say Mankey.
But it's not Monkey, right?
No, don't even go there, because I don't think if you've ever seen or met Doug, but he's not your 98-pound weakling. I think you might have heard that one in elementary school one too many times. So.
Yeah.
Actually, I was trying to remember when we were talking about coming up with a name for the studio, like if we wanted to. I made some joke about Monkey Studios, something like that.
That's not funny.
He did not laugh. He actually gave me quite a dirty look, so I'm just going to stay away from that one. But yeah, that's it for me.
Well, we'll start off with a bit of the questions here. Now, Patrick, my questions pretty much echo that of a guy who currently couldn't make it tonight. And he really wanted to, actually be here to feature in person, but he pretty much just wishes to say that you're one of the most impressive pencilers working in this industry today. The fact that you are able to produce such amazing pieces of art with your hectic schedule, as you've been saying, is, it's very, very big cause for your high praise. He also wanted me to mention that your Kyle Rayner has been, is one of the most definitive ones he actually loves. So,
oh, cool. That's good to hear. Some days I just don't know. I'm like, is this right? I don't know. I'm going to change his hairstyle again. Awesome.
You got it perfect, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Now your title, Green Lantern, which you're currently penciling for, has been deemed recently in the Emerald Eclipse trade paperback as the best complimentary title on the stands today. Now, we don't generally know what other complimentary titles are out there at the moment, but how do you generally feel about this claim? Especially after hearing all the buzz that your title is, in fact, considered actually better than the actual main title out there right now.
That's crazy. Yeah, I see that here and there, and it's always a little, I always think like, oh, that's just like a random, someone, is really, really excited about, Green Lantern Corps, but I've seen it a lot, and, I think it's just a good testimony to the good writing and, the solid characters and stuff like that and, on the book. I mean, it's really cool to think of it as, on par with the main book, stuff that Jeff's been doing and, the editorial over there, they put a lot of work into that stuff, and man, we do too, and, I don't think there's any competition either. It's just, it's really cool that we're both on the same, I shouldn't say the same, but, we're both, highly regarded, and it's flattering. It's also put some pressure on you, but, it's like, oh, we just got lucky this week, or this month, and, hope we can do it again. Hope we can do it again next month. But, I think, Pete Tomasi has, right now, I mean, his writing is just awesome, and, the story just only is as good as the writing, basically, as far as I'm concerned. And, every month, he just keeps layering on and putting these guys through the ringer and, making interesting stuff, because, I'm reading it too, just like everyone else, maybe a little bit ahead of everyone, but, I still have, like, holy crap, moments, when I'm reading the script, and, especially with the last issue, I didn't see any of that coming, just like everyone else, for the most part.
Thanks.
Yeah, I heard someone, someone was telling me, the same thing about the, that it's like a, what did you say about it being a complimentary title? That right. They're just saying that it's one of the better selling ones, numbers wise. I don't know, maybe someone could check it, but they were just saying that the gap between the sales for a main book and a spin-off book, or whatever you want to call it, is usually a lot wider than what we have, and and I think that is just kind of showing a little bit that, in a way, even though it has Green Lantern in the title, it really is its own book. I mean, it's not another book with Hal Jordan in it, and the core, it's not Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern core. It's their own characters over there, and so in a lot of ways, we really do kind of play in our own sandbox, so to speak, I guess. But it's nice to be, to ride along with Green Lantern and all the other cool stuff they're turning out over there. And when I say over there, I mean across the room when I look over at Doug's stuff. We're in the studio here, so. It's pretty cool. So
I'm looking at October's sales charts right now. Green Lantern is number 3, and Green Lantern Corps is number 5. That's really close. That's really close.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's awesome. Number 3, really. I didn't even know that. That is awesome. Well, it's a good time to be a Green Lantern fan. It's been a good time to be a Green Lantern fan, which I am too. I mean, starting with Rebirth and up to Sinestro Corps War. I mean, it's cool. It's just like this nonstop train. How many years is this? Three years. I mean, it's hit and miss in some places, overall, but I think that, generally the books, are just, fun things to read, and I'm really glad people like them, so.
Absolutely. My following question, your artwork, your perspectives are insane. I mean, how do you get it so, you know, to the way that you actually, you know, able to pull it off? I mean, all these fisheye lens, like, sort of, like, zoom-ins that you do on certain panels, or these crazy, like, depictions of, like, again, like I was mentioning before, like, giant snakes wrapping around planets and things. Like, how do you deal with these images?
I don't know. I actually was just drawing a panel today, and I was looking at it, and I was going, man, this is the most boring panel of all. I need to do, like, some crazy, you know, foreshortened, you know, I would try and explain it to you, but it just sounded ridiculous, you know, for what I had in my mind. I just didn't have the time, and I should be honest with you, I think I'm going to erase it and do what I was planning on anyway. It's a panel of guy, it's a Red Lantern, so, but, you know, he needs more extreme stuff, if you ask me. But, yeah, I don't know, I just kind of how it pops into my head. I tend to go with I'm a very reactionary type of artist. Like, when I'm reading the script for the first time, I'll sit down and just with a pencil in hand, and as I'm reading it, I'll do a quick thumbnail of something, you know, if I'm just seeing a certain panel a certain way. And then, you know, so sometimes I'll get weird perspectives that way. And then other times, too, I'll do it just, I'll make myself do it in a certain spot just because, you know, if it serves the story better, you know, to have something, you know, really dramatic and, you know, I don't know, like when you watch TV and movies, you know, don't you get bored sometimes? Just, you know, you expect the same thing, you know what you're going to see in every, you know, it's like watching an episode of Law and Order.
Just watching everything. Like kind of watching everything like an even headroom, every like just standing in one corner and through the other, and just, you know, like everything just paneled out like very square.
Yeah, totally. And there are times and places for that, and some comics actually do that really well. I just get bored easily, I guess. I don't know. I don't like drawing the same thing over and over again. And yeah. You know, I like to just see what I can pull off. You know, I don't know. I have a very, I suppose, somewhat unconventional, you know, upbringing artistically. I just kind of taught myself how to draw, and it's, you know, I take a lot of cues from moving type of images, you know, like, you know, animation or film and things like that. So I tend to think things through that way rather than on the page, and then I just try and figure out a way to put it on the page. So.
Wow, and seriously, whenever you go, I would say crazy in your depictions of, like, you know, panel work, it's freaking jaw dropping. It's like, you know, it's fantastic to look at. Like, I'll say that right now. It's
some of those big splash pages is fantastic.
Well, I was looking through some stuff the other day. I was looking through an issue of one of my first. I think I would consider it my first big break at DC, which was an issue, JLA Welcome to the Working Week. I'd done a couple other books before that, but it was the first one, like, where I was really told just do whatever I want. And, you know, I look at it now and I go, wow, a lot of this looks very, you know, artistically immature, you know, or whatever, you know. Like, well, I don't even think I would think of drawing something like this now, but I had all the time in the world to do that book, and, you know, time plays a big factor in it, too. You know, I tend to be more creative, and I like to design things, you know, and move things around and play with them if I have time. You know, and then there's times, too, where, you know, the book has to get out. You know, people have to read it. But they don't want to see me just indulging my own, you know, weird design elements all the time. So, but, you know, I try and design stuff, you know, on the page, and, you know, I can get creative with, you know, brain matter splatter, and not even think. I don't even know what I'm drawing half the time. I'm just like, oh, I like an arc right here or something. It just happens to be, you know, your medulla oblongata or something, or, you know, someone's rib cage or something. I'm like, oh, I need a little spiral thing over here, and it's, you know, your spleen.
A bit more entrails on the left.
Yeah.
Some more. The blood would bring out the color of his dead corpse over here.
Yes. And actually, I learned all that from Doug Mankey. That's the Doug Mankey School of entrail drawing. If you go back through his mask stuff and Lobo stuff, some pretty cool stuff in there. But yeah, you know, I just like to draw things to entertain myself, and it's usually the best way, I guess. You know, people say it'll work if you can entertain yourself. Someone's bound to someone else was bound to be entertained, so hopefully.
Well, we're all entertained by it. Well, that's it for my question. I'm going to hand it over to one of our other casters here. I'm going to hand it over to Muzard. Take it away.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on, Patrick. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. No problem.
I've started reading. I started reading your work since you first came on Green Lantern Recharge. Yes, Recharge. Fantastic story, and I just love the series ever since. Green Lantern. I've followed every issue. I just love it.
Thank you. There's starting to be a little bit of a stack of back issues of Green Lantern Corps now that I'm looking at it. But yeah, thank you.
It's been almost 4 years since the start of the ongoing Green Lantern Corps title. What moments would you say were among your favorite to draw?
Let's see. In all of the Green Lantern Corps stuff. What moments? I don't know. Do you have any good moments that you like? Anything in particular that jumps out at you? There's so much.
Sins of the Star Sapphires.
Sins of the Star Sapphires. Yeah, I like drawing that. I like creating characters.
I like the stuff with the... I like where the gravity reversed on that planet and all the guts and whales and stuff started hitting the...
Oh.
Awesome.
Yeah. Visceral. That was one of the coolest moments. I wish I could have done a little bit more on that. You know, a one-page shot was good of that, but I really wish I could have, I wish I could have drawn off, three pages with just stuff falling on people, whales and who knows what. I mean, that was Pete's idea, and I just thought that was so funny. You know, he's just like, yeah... You know, we have some rings around it, and I was like, maybe it can just be organic, dead organic matter. And I'm like, that sounds great. And then I'm like, oh, that. Okay, well, how can I make this interesting? So I'm pretty sure I hid something weird in there somewhere. I think I put Barney in there somewhere. I don't
know. a dead bunny floating around somewhere.
Cubs around there, just hanging out.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like how in a way, Green Lantern Corps, just the perfect place to just play around with. I'll hide little things here and there, and some things I don't tell people about, but some I do. I put the satellite lung from Mr. Science Theater 3000 in like one of the shots. It was, I can't remember what issue it was. That cell was had been destroyed again, and was rebuilding himself and pulling all this debris in, and so I drew it in there, and which paid off because then I was on a flight, and I was sitting next to one of the writers from the show, and I didn't realize it. We were just talking, and then he told me what he did, and I'm like, hey, I drew the set I love in the comic book I work on, and he's like, I designed that, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I love that show. So I'm from Minnesota, too, and that show started here, but, I like doing stuff like that. We put in little things for friends of ours, and
Easter eggs.
But yeah, there's so many weird things I get to draw. That issue that Keith Champagne wrote was really, it just
love that art.
Came out just, yeah, it was just a cool, isolated, guy story, and everything in that just had a lot of great elements. That was like an overall fun thing to draw. Like it was just weird. Like it was a two-page spread. Or the monster, there's this big monster. And
the Dominator Mutant.
He's just tearing apart the abandoned the JSA old Antarctica base or something. And he's just throwing giant walls and steel girders around it. Just chucking them bombs or a garbage pan. Basically. Yeah. And I was just like, this is so much fun just to draw and throw in giant. Steel girders around, and then there's always the constructs and the stuff that the GL gets to use. A lot of times nothing. Hardly any of the writers. I guess maybe Dave put this in there. He was a little more construct heavy. Like he would be a little more specific, and he would ask for things. But for the most part, most of the time, I don't get told what to draw. It just says they fire their ring, and so If I'm awake that day, I'm thinking about it. And, that gets to come up with something, funny or kind of cool, to have them do. I remember I drew one. It was just a little shot of, it was a guy, it was an issue two or three of a new ongoing series, and they go in to save the princess, who I'm not going to try and pronounce her name because I don't know how to pronounce it.
Do not worry, we all have a problem pronouncing her name.
I think, does anyone have any ideas here? Someone give me a version to go with her.
Yolandi? We go
Iolandi?
Oh yeah, how do you say that?
Someone told me that you spell Yolanda that way, actually, at one time, and so, actually, to be honest, that kind of stuck, and so then we just refer to her as Yolanda, even though I don't think that's
right. I think of that talk show.
Anyway, so, guys, they're supposed to swoop in and save her from, you know, some giant robot or something, and it just says guy throws a shield up in front of her, and I just thought, okay, and I don't want to draw a shield. I'm just going to draw, like, you know, guy would just throw up a giant version of himself, you know, kind of like laying on his side, you know, with his head up, like smiling, like, hey. And it's just a little shot in the background. I don't think anyone even noticed it, but that's the kind of stuff I like doing. I get a kick out of that. So, yeah, I don't know. If you guys have any moments, I'd be happy to expound on my...
It's good that you have artistic freedom, like, you know, such good artistic freedom that you can, like, you know, express what you want to draw out there, even though they just say, like, draw energy shield, and you draw whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that freedom gets yanked away quickly, but, you know, I have been known to make a total bonehead move here and there, but yeah, for the most part, yeah, they let me do pretty much whatever I want. And that started, I think, with Pete, when he was my editor, when we were doing Aquaman, you know, I mean, we literally just destroyed San Diego, and he's like, yeah, you can design stuff however you want, and do whatever, and so when I moved on to Core, it was just that much better, you know, and like I said, I can get bored easily drawing comics, you know, the same thing over and over, so I like designing new things, and I like trying to, you know, think things through a little bit differently, you know, just make it interesting, you know, give people the most bang for their buck, you know. Comics aren't totally as cheap as they used to be, you know, so I try and put as much effort in as I can, so.
Alright, with Blackest Night passing the halfway point, what characters are there that you've yet to draw that you'd like to during the event? Like a specific like Black Lantern or one of the other core members or something like that?
Mongol Senior?
That's a good. What did you say, Mongol Senior?
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Or Mongol.
Yeah, didn't I? I do distinctly remember drawing some pretty nasty looking Mongol corpse.
Yeah,
I'd be actually afraid to bring that back. I think that should stay dead. But yeah, you know, let's see who. You know, I would like to draw. When Aquaman was coming around, I think, you know, just to revisit my old buddy Aquaman, that would have been cool. I'd like to do that. I'd like to draw Superboy Prime again. I doubt that's going to happen, you know. I don't know what they're going to have me do next. Who knows? But I have a feeling if we see anything else, we're staying pretty much on Hoa for our stuff. So, you know, really? I would like to do Superboy Prime at some point again. And what's the other one? I saw one the other day. Well, I'm sure it'll pop in my mind later. But you know, no, I mean, I really do have my hands full with all the characters on OA right now. I don't think I could take any more new characters. But yeah, no, I think it'd be cool. I'd like to do a Batman or Superman. You know, I don't even know what's going on with Batman. You know, he was back there and. Black is my five, right?
Hey, yeah. Briefly. Just came back.
Nobody knows what's going on with Batman. It's just
you did a good Batman in that Welcome to the Working Week. That was pretty good. Dynamic.
Oh, cool, thanks. Yeah, Batman's, you know, he's one of the you know, the every artist dreams to do something like, you know, with Batman, but at the same time, like, the most intimidating, you know, because there's so many people that have just done him perfectly and way, way better than you ever will, you know, and so it's like, here, draw a shot of Batman. I'm like, all right. I think he had a test tube, right? That was my little moment where I was very proud of him. A little test tube on one of the shots. He was doing some detective work or something. yeah, Batman would be fun. I really wish Buzz was not dead, or Black Lantern, or whatever you want to say, because yeah. I really wish he was still around. I really wish he was still around in his normal self, but I don't know, maybe he has a brother or something. I don't know. Mogo does need a new partner, I think, so I'm lobbying pretty hard for it with Pete. We'll see.
I feel like there needs to be a character like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think in a way Pete was a little surprised at just how much people really liked him as a character. I think when he killed him off, he had a little bit of a backlash. Maybe he wasn't ready for him, but, you know, he was a cool character, you know. I mean, he's a fly with the most powerful weapon in the universe on his little fly hand.
If there's backlash over, just imagine the backlash on Kyle.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I don't know if it's backlash so much that I've seen or heard. I don't know, you know, if Pete's even fielded any questions about that yet, if he's done any interviews or anything, but, you know, I think people are just, like, I think he just basically, you know, got people exactly where he wanted them, you know, like, here you go, I just killed Kyle, or whatever, you know, and people are, you know, Pete's very good at having that, you know, getting that kind of emotional response without being like cheap, you know. Kyle just didn't, you know, in a way he didn't just die, you know. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, hyped up or anything like that.
Just a simple hero's death.
Yeah, and it was, you know, when I got the script and I read it, I was like, what, you know, what's this? And, you know, it was, you know, I didn't know this was going to happen. And, you know, he's like, yeah, well, that's what happens. It's, you know, it's kind of the theme and core in a way. I mean, I think Kilowog had a nice little speech about, you know, all lanterns die, and, you know, in a way, yeah. You know, it isn't. You know, some days it feels like it's the book just centers around Kyle and Guy, and in a lot of ways it does. But, you know, it really is just a total ensemble.
Yeah, it's an ensemble book.
I like that fact. You know, it puts some danger in the story. You really don't know what's going to happen, you know, who's going to be where, and what's going to happen to them, and how they're going to get there, you know. So there's some risk, there really is. So
I don't accidentally steal one of the later questions, we'll move back from Kyle a little bit for now, and I was curious, if you could work on one book right now that you've yet to work on, what would it be?
Besides Core, one book right now. I don't know. I always get that question, and I always get the same answer. I don't know. I'm very focused on what I'm doing at the moment, and that's just kind of how I've always been. I try not to think, you know, I'd rather be over here, and it'd be really great to do this, too much. I mean, stuff will pop into my head, but it's weird stuff, you know. It's like, you know, I really wish I could go back and redraw, you know, something I had done before, you know, draw new, you know, go back and do a, you know, an issue of, you know, that redo my first X-Men issue or something, and, you know, actually make it look decent, but, you know, or be really cool to draw, you know, an issue of, I don't know, Ninja Turtles or something.
Hey,
whatever,
all right.
Whatever.
It's caught our attention, okay. Sure.
I am the resident Ninja Turtles freak.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. You kidding me?
Yeah. Well, you know, Turtle, I basically taught myself how to draw anatomy by, you know, looking at, you know, the old books. And,
no kidding.
Know,
the old Mirage books?
The Eastman the figures.
What's that?
The old Eastman
I never had any money to buy my own comics. I just moved stuff my friend Matt, and he'd bring stuff over, or, you know, I mean, we'd look at, even Archie stuff. I know, like, you know, it's Archie, the Ninja Turtle Archie stuff, but, you know, I have a special spot in my heart for this.
I have that stuff, too. A little bit environmental, but I like those books. Those are good.
The earlier ones are pretty, you know. And, you know, it was, you know, I really did, because I was so unfamiliar with comic book art, you know. I really wanted to draw when I was younger. I really wanted to draw comic strips, like, you know, like Garfield, you know, or The Far Side. That was actually what I really wanted to do.
That's awesome, too.
As a kid, yeah. And so, you know, I really did try and do that for a while. And then, you know, I was, like I said, I never had any money to buy comics, so I had a few, you know, I had a few Spider-Man, a few things here and there, but, you know, my friend bought, you know, some G.I. Joe comics, you know, the Marvel ones, and I was a fan of the show as a kid, and the issue he showed me, I think like five Joes got killed in it, and I was like, what, you can do this?
there's actually
a story here, and yeah, and you know, and then he has some X-Men, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's Jim Lee stuff, and I was like, this is awesome, and you know, Turtles, and that was just so basically his stuff. Basically, I just started reading it, and I was like, this was really cool. And, you know, I know I'm totally getting off your question exactly, but I want to draw. You know, give me a G.I. Joe comic and Ninja Turtle comic here. No,
hell yeah.
I would have been fun, you know, remember a few years ago when, like, Wizard was doing all those, you know, and they were having all the old stuff, you know, be redrawn, you know, Thundercats and, you know, all that stuff by the top artists. It would have been cool to do, like, a pin-up or something. Because it might get old fast, actually, now that I think of it. So I retract any and all statement. I want to draw, you know, Green Lantern Corps. But, no, really, I do. Every Green Lantern Corps is pretty different. You know, so it's like drawing a new book all the time, actually, in a lot of ways.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for my questions. I'd like to hand it over to West, if I may. West, go ahead.
All right.
All right. Thanks for joining us again.
Sure.
Yeah. We're a little past the halfway point for Blackest Night, and lanterns are dying left and right. And for those collecting all the tie-ins like us, the emotion factor for the Black Lanterns is getting a little thin. Without giving away too much, what can we expect from the core next? Is it just more guns a-blazing, or are we going to get a little bit of shot?
You mean like next issue, or like, you know? You know, let's see. You do have Red Lantern Guy, so that's the that's you know, taking up my attention at the moment. But at the same time, it's not the focus. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's not the focus. You know, and that's the thing.
It's just on the cover.
He's on the cover, so there's focus on that. So he's, you know, but it, you know, I mean, it does bounce around. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but in a lot of ways, though, too. You know, with all the stuff that circled around Kyle, you know, all these guys have been, most of our group has been, you know, kind of scattered all over Oa. You know, when all the rings hit the planet, you know, everyone's just, you know, I mean, planet-wide, basically, or, you know, I mean, it's pretty big, maybe city-wide, I guess, I don't know. But, you know, so everyone's kind of scattered, but I think with Kyle, you know, what happened to Kyle, that, in a lot of ways, has pulled a lot of these our main characters together. Everything's centered around the power battery right now, because it's really do or die, you know, for them. Right. They're just trying. I mean, it's so relentless. It's like there's just no, you know, they're at a very bleak point right now. You know, I mean, they basically can't stop these guys. Monk is helping them out, but he can only do so much, and, you know. So, Red Lantern Guy shows up, and, you know, I don't know, it's up to see what he does. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's just as crazy, and but it, you know, it's still moving along, and you know, there's just I wish I'm trying to think of what can I tell you without telling you.
Right.
So, that's cool.
You know, it's fun. It's, you know, if you like what we've been doing so far, I guarantee you will continue to like where it's going, and you know. Being along on the craziness that is Green Lantern Corps.
All right. Well, I look forward to Guy's rage and your art.
Thanks.
Well, we know Jeff and Pete are going to be on board the titles post Blackest Night. Mm-hmm. You're not ditching us, are you? Post Blackest Night.
Everyone, you know, why does everyone ask me that? They always ask me that, I think. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Does everyone want me to leave? I don't know.
No, I mean, Green Lantern has a rotating slot of guests. Been on for so long, people don't want to lose you.
Well, Well, that's kind of the question that too. You know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, I mean, yeah, yes, I'm leaving the book eventually. You know, I hope that someday I'll be, you know, get to work on other things. I, you know, it's just a matter of when, I guess. You know, like, I mean, I want to do what's right. You know, by the book, by me, by, you know, fans, and you know, it's. You know, it's kind of a, you know, you just kind of, I'm totally committed through Blackest Night for sure. I mean, that's obviously, you know, that's what I told people leading into it, you know, I was going to stick around and do as much as I possibly can on it and just, you know, pour into it as much as possible. And, you know, core, you know, there's stuff that we've talked about afterwards, so, you know, it's looking that way. So we'll see. I mean, who knows? Things change. This is one of those industries. Things can go very different or stay very same. You know, you just we don't know. I mean, both could be good.
Are you hinting at a spinoff book?
Am I hinting at a spinoff book? No.
The Kyle Show. Do 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 do.
Oh.
I'm gonna do the box. It's the box. You know, the box, the Green Lantern box.
Yeah.
He gets his own series. No, I don't know. It would be, I wonder if, you know, a spinoff would be kind of cool. I mean, they've got enough to spin off of, don't they?
I think there's room
What would you guys want to say? So if they added a Green Lantern universe spinoff book, you know, of anything, so what would you guys want to see?
I'd say two things. First of all, Kyle Rayner, if he's alive, something on Earth, something kind of, he's patrolling the multiverse and or Earth and along with his other duties, or... a Green Lantern Corps book. I think that'd be pretty cool. Get Keith on
Corps. Oh, like, yeah. I'll get Keith back in there. You know,
yeah.
That'd be cool. I saw, you know, there's a. Oh, maybe I shouldn't even say this. Well, no, I think it came out. There was a. He wrote another story for that. Basically a sequel.
It's going to be a mini.
Jamal Igel started working on it, and. I think, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but, you know, obviously I think the Sinister Corps, Blackest Night stuff, it's really started to be formulated even back then, and it might not have fit exactly with what they were doing, but I read the script, it was really cool, I wish they would do it. He's wrote a really cool story there, too, so, that would be cool, Black Leonard Corps, but see, their whole thing was they could kill, and now, you know, GLs can kill now too, so I don't know exactly what
It wasn't just about being able to kill, though. I mean, it was like a whole black ops sort of plausible deniability.
I would actually really like to redraw. You know, the earlier question about who would I like to draw? I really would like to draw Raimi Hall one more time. She was.
Ooh, I love that. Ooh, nice.
Yeah, nice. And I'm just sad. I'm just sad with the way that arc ended. That, you know, I probably never ever will. So. I did when the trade came out for that, I asked him, I was like, can I draw a new cover, you know, just literally so I can draw her and, you know, all the rest of the, you know, guy with all the GL ladies, you know, in the typical guy manner, so, and they loved me, so that was cool.
I'm so sad of how that story ended. I, you know, leave her half naked and just like, you know, just out there with some guy who shapeshifts. Never to be seen again.
Well, she was all right. I mean, she kind of backstabbed Guy a little bit. You know, I think she knocked him out, right? I'm trying to remember. She put him out. So she went off with, you know, with him, and, you know, in a way, it was kind of like the total love story that never happened. It was
he got a little bit of play, not much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows? Maybe one day Keith will be enlisted to do some sort of spin-off series. I'll run it by him. I'm sure he'd be up for it. So it would be cool.
Well, working with other people, let's transfer it over there. Is it a big difference working side by side next to Doug?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know. I assisted Doug for. I don't know. It was off and on for, you know, a few years, a couple of years maybe. After I got my first work, we were friends before that, and I got my first work at Marvel, and then didn't have any work again for maybe a year or two, and he took me in and hired me to help him out. So I worked side by side with him at his house for a long time, and we're good friends anyway. But then it was a little bit different than now. He was helping me, kind of. It was nice to have someone, like I could, say, being new in the business, say, how does this look? And, he was very, very helpful and kind of guiding me along, And now, and then I moved away and then we decided to get the studio together after working, totally isolated again, which I realize is how most people do it now. You don't really have the bullpens anymore. But, man, You work by yourself every single day. It does get a little boring. So in a way, it was just to kind of stave off the boringness and just hang out and make drawing comics fun, again. And I think it's been really, really great, very energizing for us to do that. There's some days where it's like an old married couple or something up here, but it's more. I'm sure I'm the one that gets on his nerves like constantly, but I'm a little messier. A little messier than Doug, let's put it that way. So he puts up with a lot of stuff up here. So I owe him big time for that. Working next to each other is fun, And right now we're both have a crazy deadlines, and there's nothing better than when you're just suffering through something, like deadline wise, to have someone else there with you, to keep you going and, to make it fun, it's good, there's a nice camaraderie we literally just sit up here and watch movies all day and draw comic books, how bad could it be, really be, so.
Right. Well, lastly, I just wanted to say that I did enjoy your work on Aquaman. Sadly, the book did not last as long as I had hoped, but hopefully there'll be another rebirth in the future, and you'll have your shot at Aquaman again.
Yes, I've made it clear. I think I told Adam Schlagman that because Aquaman stuff not ongoing, but every once in a while I'll have something. I'll tell him, I'll say, hey, I want to draw some Aquaman. Just give me, another shot at, a pin up or something, or whatever. I don't know, but just because, it did end too soon. And in a way, it ended abruptly for me in a good way, because it was like, hey, he really wanted me to be poor, and so I left it, feeling not quite like I got to finish it how I wanted to, but. And always thinking that somehow I would, make my way back, even if it was just, in core somehow, it'd be kind of cool if I did something, but, who knows, anything like that'll happen, but thanks, Aquaman was a good time in my career for me, so.
Alright, well, now, Wes is done with his questions, we're go to Kuhan. Kuhan, he has a couple of questions.
Alright, I do All have right. questions. My first right. question...
I may have answers.
I'm going to start with the most serious question first. When are we All getting right. the girls of the GLC swimsuit issue?
I don't know. When it's Image Comics? I don't know.
Alright,
Great answer.
Did I just say that? I'm sorry. I didn't do that.
I'm keeping that in.
No. I know you are. I know you are. All
right, but
hey,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I better just stop talking.
Right now. No, we gotta get the candid stuff.
I like Image. Don't get me wrong. I like Image Comics. Oh yeah, that's not like I didn't like Image Comics. No way. I bought so many Image Comics when they first started. Oh man, I was in love with that stuff. Totally, some of it was so good and some of it was so bad, but it's still good. I look at it now and it's like it's just fun. I don't know.
Did you read
it's hard to believe it. It's hard to believe. I know. I didn't get to see the Image United yet. I totally can't wait to go buy it.
You ever read the Image Ninja Turtles book?
Yeah, I remember I tried to read a couple of them. I don't remember reading them. I remember just looking at the art, and it was. I remember the art was cool. I don't remember any of the story, though. Was it any good?
The story was crazy.
It was crazy?
Raphael becomes the Shredder and different things like
that. Splinter becomes a giant bat creature.
Okay.
And now he can't read it.
Really? Is it worth going back and reading? I mean,
I think so. I mean,
I'd say so also.
It is a continuation of the Eastman and Laird books.
Oh, well then, yeah, it probably is. Okay, well then, I'll just put that on my giant stack of comics I have yet to read. You know, you guys may not realize this, but DC is very generous in helping out, making sure that we have, stock and piles of comics. And I have so many comics. Yeah, I get a box of comics.
Nice.
I do use it for reference and keep up on stuff, but I always set aside like my pile to read, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and I feel like I'm like researching some vast civilization, and I just go pour through them every day, and it's so daunting. That's why I have to ask people, should I even bother reading this? Because there's a lot of stuff to go through. But yeah, I mean there's so much cool stuff that I haven't had a chance to look at yet. It's like 3 years old, but oh well. I'll get there eventually, one day. All right, what was the question? I don't even remember. Sorry. I guess.
No. All right, let's get to the serious questions.
Was that the serious question? Oh.
No. with all the aliens and crazy stuff you had to draw, what's the hardest or like most difficult, like takes the longest to draw in the book?
Of the, you mean which character or
characters or anything really?
The hardest to draw, honestly. It's pretty nice because I can, I think every artist tends to draw towards their strengths, and so when I get to design a character, I tend to make them, something that I can draw, as easily as possible. That doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't have detail to it. It's just something that I'm more comfortable with. But it is funny when you do pick up another artist's character they design, sometimes that just does not mesh well. Like, the coolest, I think Phil Tan, when they asked him to redesign Stell, when they asked him to redesign Stell, or I assume he did it. Stell was one of my favorite characters, and still is. But I've been trying to put him in these issues, and I just have not been able to because, the design that he gave him, don't get me wrong, it's super cool and intricate and very different, from what he looked like before. I don't know if people care one way or another if he looks like the old version or the new one. I mean, he is cool looking now, but I can't even figure out how to draw this. Phil's a great artist. Don't get me wrong. I really like him. He's a really, really nice guy, and he's very, very talented. And it just goes to show you, different artists just draw so very differently, and that's just not up my alley. I give it a shot, but continuous panel to panel stuff might be, I think he might be in a seat of shadow if I show him again somewhere. I think he made it in the background somewhere. And it just was like, oh man, I can't quite do this. So maybe I'll just blow him up again and put it back. I don't know. No, stuff like that. Kyle's mask is always like, when we were talking about Kyle earlier, I instantly thought of the mask, and I was like, the crab mask. And it's funny. It's like it's become like its own character. It's not even Kyle. It's just this mask, and everyone draws it a little bit different.
That was my next question. Did you find it hard to find a good way to draw Kyle's mask?
Oh yeah. Well, just flip through all the issues. It's slightly modified. I think, I try not to modify it in the middle of the issue. Sometimes I will, everyone does. Ivan draws it different. I draw it different, Daryl Banks, I guess he didn't draw it different, he drew it to begin with, but, this is what I always tell myself and tell people is, you know, these characters create their own costumes for the ring. And you know what? Maybe he just didn't feel like putting, you know, making it reach all the way down to his jawline, you know, that day. Or maybe, you know, maybe it doesn't, maybe it actually goes flush with his nose, you know, this day. And tomorrow it's like a big, you know, I don't know, like a big plate wrapped around his face, you know, I don't know. You know, it's funny, it's hard, okay, the reason it's hard, it's not that it's hard to draw. It's not hard to draw, it's hard three-dimensionally to make his eyes visible from every angle. That's the thing I run into.
Seems like a lot of that's on the colorist.
I don't know if it's all on the colorist or can be blamed on the colorist.
Sorry, it got crazy. I couldn't hear it. The phone is a weird connection at the moment. But, yeah, so, you know, you've got to show him, you know, especially upshot, things like that. You know, it's like he's got holes for his eyes, but if you're looking from below him, you might not see his eyes because the mask covers it up for, you know, his nose. Is, you know, I don't know, if it's stuck flat on his nose, does he have a nose under there? I don't know. So he's, he had a weird little run with the mask, I think. I did get to draw him earlier taking it off. I think when him and Natsu were in the bar, when that issue where they first kissed, and, you know, I just thought, you know, you really need to take his mask off here, you know. And get kind of, you know, close and, you know, close and personal, and, you know, wears a mask all the time, so... In my mind, you know, I always thought, you know, I'd like to have him take his mask off, you know, I like sunglasses sometimes, and, but I never really did that. So, and now I never will again, because he's dead. Dead! Sorry.
Oh, yes, of course, Kyle is dead forever, right? Yeah.
Ominous.
But,
dead is dead.
Okay, and my last question, you mentioned Philip earlier, and a friend of mine really wanted to ask you, are you upset you've never got to draw Agent Orange?
You know what? I am, actually. Now, you've seen what Doug's been doing with him, and Doug has really put a spin on him that I connect with a lot more, and now I would like to draw him, although he might be kind of hard to draw too. I mean, he had kind of the tusks, and he might want to be one of those guys that's hard to remember. You know, like, is this tusk over here or over there? But he's a body language kind of character. But see, I have, you know, guys that, you know, I can get that through with Guy. You know, I can play around with body language and things like that. You know, certain characters lend themselves better to those kinds of things. But yeah, he'd be cool. He'd be cool to draw. Running around stealing people's stuff. I might play him up a little bit more than is necessary, but who knows? I don't. Maybe he will show up. I don't know. I mean, I could draw all these guys.
You ever try to go over to the back table and be like, "Hey, can I draw this real quick?"
we've done stuff like that. You know, well, you know, that's the great thing about being in studio together is, you know, we collaborate in some ways. You know, on some days. You know, I'm just like, you know, what is, you know, does this even look right? And, you know, I'll say no, you know, try it like this, and you know, he'll do the same to me. So, you know, in a way, we do get to, you know, I wouldn't say mess around with other people, each other's books, but, you know, we do try and keep them separate. You know, I guess now that I think of it, when we worked together before, when I was his assistant. You know, it was we really worked together. I mean, he would take the page, work on it, and I would take it, work on it, things like that. And now I think we do try and keep it a little more separate, just so that we don't, you know, end up looking exactly the same. And but still, you know, keeping a nice cohesiveness to the two books. I think they complement each other artistically well that way. So.
All right. Well, that's it for my questions. I should pass the ball on to Andrew.
All right. Thanks.
All right, Patrick, it's been a long time coming. I'm glad you're with us. This is awesome.
Yeah, I gotta go, actually.
No. first, I want to shower you with praise. I mean, you're a big workhorse. I mean, Green Lantern is sometimes delayed to weeks, months, but Green Lantern Corps has been like clockwork every month. Bam, 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 with just a few delays, like a handful of delays in the past few years that I can think of. And It's just amazing. Yeah. It's the work is consistent. It's awesome. It's visceral where it needs to be. It's good in other places. It's great. I'd like to see it. Don't want to see you go.
Thanks. Well, you know, I'd like it to be better. You know, I push myself, you know, to make it better. And you know, there's always room for improvement, which is nice. It's nice that I have room for improvement. So, but yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those books that I really committed, you know, when Semester Core came around, and I told DC, you know, I'm going to work like crazy on this thing, and, you know, I'm going to be putting in lots of hours, just, you know, just so you know, and you know, I think that I do that for a number of reasons, you know, but, you know, also, people, I always like it when my, you know, favorite book that I'm reading, the artist is always there, and, you know, you're not guessing if it's going to be someone else or,
yeah,
you know, things like that. So, yeah, you know, been trying, so, and I've got a great, I really do have to say, you know, Rebecca Luckman's been inking me,
and, yeah.
You know, she's been putting up with a lot of stuff like that, you know, she'll get a page and I'll say, you know, you think you have 2 days to work on this, but you actually have, you know, 12 hours. Could you get this out tonight? You know, so things like that.
I think,
you know, so that's great.
I think we're supposed to have her on the cast.
What's that?
I think we're supposed to have her on the
cast. No. You can't have her on because she'll tell too many tales, I'm sure, that we'll be in.
Oh, but yeah. That means we just have to have her on.
Now we must have her, yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, and, you know, I mean, the coloring on the book is great, too. I mean, it's so nice, you know, it's so nice to be able to sit back and feel confident in the color. I don't know if a lot of artists do this or not. I have no idea, but I think a lot about what it'll look like when it's colored and what, you know, I have certain expectations as far as, and considering, like, you know, you have, like, three people and they're all have different skin colors, so trying to arrange them in a way that, I think the colors will complement each other, and, you know, and Randy has just, you know, been on top of this game. He's been really killing all these issues, so, you know, that's a big help in getting the book out on time, and, you know, just knowing that they're working hard too, and you know, now if I could get Pete to write something that didn't have like a billion people fighting each other for, I don't know, 10 issues, that'd be awesome. Pete's a weak link here, everybody. No. he is not a weak link. Trust me. He puts up with all the stuff. He's like, hey, wasn't this supposed to be there? I'm like, no. I ran out of time, so it's, you know. So he puts up with a lot too. So, and, you know, editor too, Adam Schleigman, that's really cool. I mean, he's been very helpful, and I mean, Eddie, you know, Jeff, Doug, well, I guess they don't really contribute as much to Core, but, I mean, they put up with a lot of stuff, and, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of hands in this pie, so it's always cool to hear good things about the book, spread it around a little, so.
My first question would be, how would you describe the differences in working with Dave Gibbons versus, like, Keith Champagne or Peter Tomasi now?
Oh, well...
Because I haven't heard a lot about Dave.
It's funny, I don't know. I mean, when I first met Dave, or Mr. Gibbons, I suppose I should call him, Mr. Gibbons. I don't feel comfortable calling him Dave. Like, hey, Dave, you know. But I met him in San Diego, I think it was just before, I think I had the script, but I remember sitting down with him and, you know, talking with him, and, man, he was just nice as could be, like, just a super gracious guy, you know, and it's like, you know, I didn't even really quite understand, like, who I was talking to, you know, back then, exactly. I was just like, you know, I never read Watchmen at that point, you know, I knew him by name, of course, but... You know, the writing thing was just, you know, was very cool for him, because for me, because he was helping me. He helped me out a lot, like trying to in the design aspect. I remember working on the Isamot, or however you want to pronounce his name. I don't know, Isamot, the lizard guy.
Tomasi
backwards. And, you know, he actually, I sat down and, you know, I drew it's Tomasi back. I drew what I thought, you know, he should look like. And he's like, oh, how about like this? And, you know, so that was cool. We got to sit down and, in a hotel lobby and pass a page back and forth and, you know, design a character, basically. So that was really cool. But I always felt like, too, like him being an artist, that I always felt bad because I know an artist always has some sort of expectation visually when writing or conceiving of an idea, you know, and I'm sure our styles are very, very different, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, I probably wasn't giving him exactly what he wanted and, you know, just because I didn't know what he would want, but, you know, but he was really very gracious and very kind and complimentary and, you know, I think in a lot of ways he really just let me, you know, I don't know, he really just let me do the book how I wanted to do it, you know, even if it wasn't for the best, you know, so that was cool. Keith is a friend of mine, and when he wrote the script, I got the script, and it was just a great read, you know, he was likewise very, 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 very kind, and, He gave me a lot of freedom too. I have not really run into a writer that has really, you know, nailed me down and said, you have to draw it this way, you have to do this. Because then I don't know what I would do, because I'd probably just not do it out of spite. I don't know. But, you know, Keith was, we would just talk about stuff and, you know, he said, just do whatever you want, make it look cool. And, you know, he was always very, he seemed to be very excited with what I had done, and we just kind of had that little moment in our history, and Pete is, you know, it's very interesting with Pete because he was my editor before this, and
yeah.
You know, basically my reason for working at DC Comics, he brought me over, and, but you know, I knew, you know, he's also very, very formative in my drawing. I mean, I think he tried to really get me to maximize stuff, in ways that I wasn't before earlier on. When he was editing me, and now that he's writing, you know, I keep waiting for him to tell me, you know, do it like this and do it like that, but he doesn't. You know, he really is just letting me kind of do what I think is best. And, you know, we do actually talk about stuff, though, sometimes, because, you know, I mean, it has to be some collaboration, you know. It goes back and forth, you know, which is really how I like to work. It's really nice to, you know, to not just have to sit down and mechanically turn out a page, you know.
Yeah.
but Pete's stuff, you know, and style-wise, you know, there is different styles. You know, the core, you can see the subtle differences in the core, you know, with Dave, Keith, and Pete. I think Dave and Pete, you know, I mean, focus a lot on the military aspect of it, you know, the regiment of the space police, you know, and you've got the, you know, the brotherhood and camaraderie thing, you know, that flows through the stories a lot, and, you know, Keith's arc was, you know, much more kind of sci-fi and spy, you know, kind of ish. I don't know if spy is right, but, you know,
kind of.
I'm trying to say, like,
covert ops.
Yeah, covert ops. You know, it could have been a cool movie, you know, or animated, you know, episode. So, it's funny. Each writer is just very different, but at the same time, they have to keep things similar. I mean, they can't just change everything around, you know, as soon as they get a new writer on there, so. But I literally have enjoyed working with all of them, which is something pretty rare, I think, in comics, you know. You don't always enjoy your writers, you know, from what I hear. I'm not saying anything. Like, all the other writers I've ever worked with are horrible. But, you know, an artist does dread, artists do dread, you know, getting a script that you just go, ugh, you know, I don't draw this, you know, but, you know, so far, I've been very fortunate to not have that happen. So,
I was impressed with the way that Gibbon's run kind of segued into Tomasi's run. I thought that was kind of organic, and it worked quite well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel like I feel like Tomasi doesn't get enough credit, because it's like, in many ways, the guy was like the mastermind behind Rebirth, and it's like, he even designed Hal's current costume, and people don't think about these things. But,
yeah, I think you're totally right, and yeah, let me just say that, you know, there's, I mean, if you did any investigating, you know, and looking back over the years, it's been very instrumental in a lot of very important books and series and characters, you know. But he's a very, very smart guy, and you know, I consider him a friend, obviously, but you know, as an editor, he's someone you want to be, that really has that kind of friend. I want to say he's your friend, but he's not your friend. He's like the Sarge, you know. Like, he's the guy that, you know, he really will make you work hard, and he won't, you know, tell you you're looking good when you're not. But at the same time, you know, he cares about, I think he genuinely cares about the people in the books that he works with and on. And you know, he really has a great sense of, a great sense of character, a great sense of, you know, just what superheroes and comic books should be, I think. But, you know, yeah. I mean, not to just sit here and, you know, just totally kiss up the piece, but I really do. I don't want to just, like, go off on it, but you hit it on the head. I think he's very, can be very underrated and overlooked. But, you know, I think in a way, though, that's changed a lot, too. I think he's gotten a lot of attention from this and, from, you know, his previous work. And, you know, he's just that kind of guy, though, that's going to just, you know, be a real workhorse, like you said earlier, and just kind of slug away at it, put up some great comics.
All right, now we had Daryl Banks on the cast a while back, and he's a big fan of your work, by the way, and he said it's always been a bit odd since he designed the original Kyle costume, that none of the artists that actually get to work on Kyle regularly end up designing any of the costumes since. Like, after Jim Lee designed Kyle's costume, it wasn't like he took over the book. He did a cover and moved on. And Ivan did the current costume, I think, and then you don't see him drawing Kyle. And
so yeah.
Why do you think that is? And if you had been allowed to do the redesign, the current suit of Kyle's, would it have differed? And if so, in what regard, if at all?
Yeah, well, that is kind of weird, though. Not, you know, I certainly hadn't really thought of it quite like that, but, you know, Kyle was just kind of touched by these people, you know, like, and then they moved on. But I think that maybe happens a little bit more and more in comics lately. People were just asked to design things, and, you know, in a way I think that's good, because then, you know, you don't want everyone to look like you designed them, you know. I think, you know, it's kind of like the Star Wars, you know. Lucas brought in, you know, a bunch of different designers. He didn't just have, you know, one guy do all the designs. I mean, you really do want to try and have a sense of diversity in the looks of things in a book like this, you know.
Yeah.
If I would have redesigned him, you know, I'm glad that when I first drew Core, I believe he had the collar from Jim Lee's stuff.
Yeah, and even in the Welcome to the Work Week, too.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that was, I mean, I was a huge Jim Lee fan, obviously, but, you know, I was just like, this doesn't make sense, it doesn't work for me. Yeah. You know, I was one of those guys that drew it like, can I get rid of this, you know, but no, I can't.
Seems like some people did get rid of the collar, like they kept the costume, but they got rid of the collar. Some people did that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, I wish I could remember exactly how it went down. I mean, at some point, I think I had a conversation with Pete. Maybe, well, or it, at some point he got rid of it. I don't know. I mean, I don't draw it now. I can't remember if someone had done it or if I'd asked Pete, can we get rid of it, you know, when we start the new series. I seem to recall when we start the new series, that's a chance to tweak things. Because I remember if Ath was bald, I had him, like, you know, cute baby head bald and recharge, and I was like, you know, I want to put some hair on him, you know, make him look a little more soldier-like. And, you know, just tweak little things here and there. So it keeps things fresh. Kyle's, you know, the mask, I would redesign it maybe, but you know, it really is kind of a part of who Kyle is. I don't know. I mean, maybe Kyle, you know, should you know, just have a some sort of a, I don't know, no sort of mask. I don't know. Or maybe we should do a Black Lantern redesign.
Uh-oh. What's this?
I don't know. No, I mean,
personally speaking, I liked his design as Ion during the Ion mini. The full-on suit, that kind of like starry mask.
You're dismissed, Mew.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive me for liking something different. I prostrate myself before you and beg forgiveness.
It was cool. Without getting on too much of a geekiness, I really do like the way you've kind of evolved Kyle's look, like his hair has gotten a little bit longer back to like the Daryl Banks haircut, and you've even kind of introduced like the symbol projection from like the outfit, which is cool. I would have liked to have seen the bumps like back from the first appearances, like in the countdown, but nah, whatever. But
you know what? I kind of like the bumps too. They added something cool to it. I don't know. I can always do commissions like that or something. I don't know. But I liked when I got to draw the tread or whatever you call the bumps on the sleeves. His hair, you know, when I was drawing it, I mean, he's gone. I've heard people like complain about it. I've heard people, you know, like you compliment it. You know, I always just figure, you know, these guys are flying around in space. You know, your hair doesn't look the same every day, especially if you're running around fighting. You know, it gets messed up. There's wind. You know, like it's wet. You know, his hair was short. I think in the very beginning he had the buzz cut.
Yeah.
But you know, we have so many characters that have buzz cuts, and at first I think I was trying to get away from everyone having it. I just want a guy to have it, and that guy and Kyle. But Vath didn't have it at first, and then I just thought
he was kind of bald. Yeah.
Right, but then now I'm leaning more towards, you know, it's, you know, ways it is kind of neat to see them kind of have the same kind of hairstyle, because, you know, Matthew and Kyle had almost the same hairstyle, and that was really kind of freaking me out sometimes when I was drawing that. I'm like, these guys almost look the same. Like, you know, what am I going to do here? They both have black hair, short black hair, and, you know, but that was the, you know, his hair has been a topic of, like, who knew people cared so much about someone's hairstyle, but apparently they do, so. As long as he has a little some sideburns, I think that's all right, and a little stubble, I think you'll, you know, you can give Kyle almost any kind of hair, and people recognize it.
All right, I think this is going to be our last question for you.
All right.
Now, without getting into spoilers or inside knowledge or things like that, just what was it like drawing that final page of Green Lantern Corps 42, like the death page of Kyle? Like, I remember we had Ethan back on the Castaways back. He said that when he drew that first Kyle as Parallax revealed back in the Sinestro Corps War, like he was expecting to get eyes in the face at conventions. So was it like was there any thoughts of like, oh man, this is going to rile up some fanboys? Any things like that?
Oh, totally. Oh, I totally, and I had a big smile on my face while I drew him lying there dead. I really did. I thought, oh, God, this is, I mean, part of me was sad. I know, part of me was sad, but I was just like, you know, I was like, wow, this is, believe me, I'm a Kyle fan, obviously, so I wasn't glad he was dead. I was just glad that I got to draw it. I was glad that, you know, the issue was such a, you know, roller coaster. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happened in that issue, and people tend to skip over it, I think, and, you know, skip right to Kyle, but, you know, you didn't just ask me, you know, what did it feel like when I drew the death of Chassalon? You know, that was highly emotional for me, too. You know, little shiny ball getting beaten to death by little kids, you know, that was very touching.
Ooh,
you know,
it's shiny.
Yeah, there's people that are really upset about that, you know. But no, actually, I think that was the first page I drew. When I got the script, that was the first page I drew. Because, earlier when I said I had a real clear idea of, you know, when I'm reading a script, you know, I knew pretty much exactly what I wanted it to look like. And so I actually sat down and I drew that last page first. And, you know, I was really happy with how it turned out. And, you know, I think people, you know, he's dead. I remember when I did draw it, I had a big question too of his mask, and I remember that was the one part I played around with was, you know, I thought maybe I'll just, you know, his mask is off, you know,
like lying beside him.
Yeah, you know, something, you know, this is not you know, I mean, he's really down. You know, it just isn't, it's something more, a little more symbolic, maybe. I don't know. Like, he's really dead. I was just trying to get it across because, you know, and when I asked Pete about it, he didn't want it to be bloody or gory or anything like that. You know, he just, you know, he figured that there was enough energy in his shield to protect him somewhat, you know, but everything else internally did damage to him. But, so it was kind of a peaceful page in a way, you know. So, anything. So I know I broke a few hearts. I've got a few people that are very upset with me. And actually, I have there's a couple people, two sisters that work at two different gas stations that Doug and I, but mostly I, go to, you know, to get coffee and stuff late at night when I have a deadline. And they're both huge Calico fans, and they, you know, one of them, I was physically accosted, I'll put it that way. I won't say which one it was, but I went in and I was looking at like Hot Pockets or something in the freezer, and I was grabbed by the collar and shaken violently and said, why? So, why? So,
there's rat poison in this coffee.
So that's, you know, you got reaction, and they wanted reaction, they got it. So there you go.
That's all I got for you, Pat. Thank you very much. I think
I've
been running a little bit long here, but I'll give it back to Frankie.
Alrighty.
Wow, you were shaking in a gas station by a lady about Kyle's death. That's actually pretty impressive.
You have no idea. You have no idea the weird stuff that happened.
Well, Patrick, I'm glad you actually came on, you know, this late at night and, you know, answered all my questions. I hope it was enjoyable for you. I hope, because we enjoyed it a lot. And, we'd love to have you back on the show whenever you get a chance to. Also, tell Doug to hit us up. We promise not to call him a monkey.
Yes.
Don't even go there. I'll do you a favor and not tell him that. But yeah, definitely, I'll pass it on.
Yeah, if you can, we'd love to have you back on. We'd love to have you both back on, actually. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, that might be a little more interesting. all right, no problem. Very cool. Well, thanks, guys, for having me. And
again, it was a pleasure.
Thanks, man.
Hopefully I did you good there. So.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care, you too.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are properties of DC Comics and do not reflect the authenticity of this podcast.
Smell a thousand years ago, green fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a super plan, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his green from Arkansas. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
I like rap.
That's so racist.
It's not racist. You're the one who plays the music anyway, so.
I was the one who posted the rap link to Wes. I don't know if he listened.
You listen to the rap music.
To that Super Nintendo shit?
No, after that. I posted it to your thing directly.
Six.
I got my goons rapping.
No, Wes, we can't hear you.
We turn the VIP into the do it session.
Wes will go part of third, part of fourth, but part of fifth as he keeps disconnecting.
Hope not.
Ha ha ha. Alright, let's do it.
I kid because we're fit.
Well, short and sweet.
I'll be more specific, you know. I'll go as far as I don't want to give you my whole life story unless you just really, really want to know.
No, we're trying to save that for for the next time you come on.
All right. We're size 12 shoe. I've got brown eyes. Okay. Did you ask a question in there?
I'm sorry.
I was just commenting.
You know what? I'll just laugh and smile and nod. I'm smiling and nodding over here.
That's all we ask from you.
I really like
smiling.
They say he isn't black, so...
So,
No,
Trick
is black, apparently.
Cool. Switch it from my ball! Down these female scrubs!
Down these bitches, scrubs.
There's two versions.
This is where that editing's gonna come in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where the magic happens.